Let's welcome him as he comes to the stage.
Praise God. It's good to be back. For some of you, you've seen me for the last few weeks. I've been teaching in the school, and we've been pretty busy. But I want to say it's a real privilege to be back, and Tracy's doing fine. She's working at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and she's working under Pastor Terry. Pearson's, where they're the pastors at International Eagle Mountain International Church, and she travels. And tomorrow, I'm trying to think, they're going up to Lynn Hammond's, and they're going to have a great meeting. And she just wanted me to tell you hello. And my late wife Cheryl, her mother's 93. She called me on the phone the other day. She said, "You make sure that you tell the church hello for me. So if I don't, I'm in big trouble." But it's good to be here. I feel there's a lot on my heart. I want to say it in just a few moments, not be long, but I want to come straight to the point. This morning, about 5 o'clock, I had a visitation from the Lord. God's showing me things that's out in front of the church in general, at large, over the world, about the end time move of God. I don't really have a lot of time to talk about it because God has given me a word that I feel like really needs to be spoken. Brother Copeland, back in before 2012, entered in, he gave a prophetic word that I'm going to read a little bit of it. It says, "Lay hold on what is yours. I have a great storehouse, much more than has been stored up to go up in the storehouse of riches beyond your wildest dreams that are laid up for you, even before the foundation of the world. Much more is stored up there than what the church has called for. I have never held back on the church, saith the Lord God of plenty. I've made it available to you. It's in my word. I have given you promises and stood behind the word by the blood and the precious blood of your Savior. But there has been a backwardness in my people about laying hold of the things I provided for you. But I will say this, there is a people in this land, a people around the world. There's a people strong and growing mighty and growing stronger and growing mightier to lay hold of their part and claim by faith on the things that I have laid up for you. And it thrills me, saith the Lord, because it's been yours all the time. This is going to be a year of surprise and suddenlies. 2012 is going to be a year of a lot of surprises for many of you, saith the Lord. Some surprises are going to shake up people. Surprises are going to cause people to be shaken down. But for those who are listening to my word and those who have made themselves available to my spirit and to my word, you'll have surprise. But not that the world will receive, but a lot that are carnal-minded will not have it. Surprises that will come suddenly. Like in my word when I said, the suddenly shall come upon them. And you'll stand up with a big smile on your face and say, I just suddenly got it. I did it. God has blessed me. Oh, it will take you by surprise because I said in my word that I would show you things to come. And in my word, I said that what I speak, the Holy Ghost will hear and he will speak it unto you. I want to just take kind of instead of reading all this because I just want to take some pieces of it. He said, there's a time of joy and victory and breakthroughs. And he talks about those at 2012, said, those that know my joy, it will be a time of marvelous breakthroughs. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I'm telling you, we need to move into the joy. And it said, the future is bright for Zambia. I don't care who the politicians are. I don't care if America's going into elections. The presidents, politicians, and people are not our source. God is our source. And so I'm not going to say a lot about that. I'm just going to let it lay there for the moment. So it's a time for miracles. I've seen some unusual miracles starting this year. Said it's going to be an increase in miraculous and all the way through the year, clear to the end, of unusual miracles. I started off the year a couple of months ago. I was in a little church that I've been to many times. I was in Boonville, Arkansas. A child had been born to one of the families of very rare genetic disease. The only way I can explain it to you, if I told you the name, you probably wouldn't know it, but it's such a rare disease that when people have this disease, it would be like taking a 10-year-old child and a 5-year-old child, taking a saw and cutting them in two, and taking half of each one and gluing them together to where one side of your body is normal, where one arm is a 10-year-old and the other one's like a 5-year-old. Genetically, there's nothing that can be done. If you have that disease, you live and die with it. They brought this child to me at the end of the service, and the mother says, "Can you pray for my child?" She told me what it was, and I looked at that baby. I'd never seen anything like it. It's the first case I'd ever seen in my life. And I knew in the natural, you have to turn your head off. I got to look to the scriptures and look to God, whom all things are possible. Because if you look with your mind, you'll forget it. He said, let someone else pray. I'm telling you. If you look at the circumstances, it'll defeat you. You've got to look beyond the natural and look into the supernatural. I reached over and took the child out of her arm because the mother had been praying for this child ever since her birth. The church had been praying. She was full of doubt. It just compounded in her. I said, give me the child. I take the child and pray. The power of God hits that child. I put the child down on the floor, and the child's totally normal. The arms, the legs, the face, everything's all the same. With the medical doctor in the church service, 5 to 10 feet behind me, standing there, the one that delivered the baby. I'm telling you, God is a good God. He's a miracle-working God. I want to talk to you today. I'm going to move straight into the Word and just say to you, if you're here needing a miracle, there's a scripture that said, he that ordereth his conversation aright, will the Lord show him the salvation. The Lord will show him the salvation of the Lord. He that ordereth his conversation aright, will he show the salvation of the Lord. If I can get you to straighten up your talk, quit talking your problem, quit talking defeat, quit talking failure and lack, but take the Word of God and the promises of God and replace it with doubt and unbelief and start speaking faith, God will change your situation. Some people say, well, I can't find a job. You probably never will find one. I'm always sick and broke. You probably will be. Because you talk it long enough, it'll move into your head and get into your heart, and then you start manifesting it. Kenneth E. Hagin said, a Christian should never talk doubt and unbelief, because you keep talking it long enough, and it'll get into your spirit, man, and you'll start having what you say. So I want us to turn to a passage of Scripture. Some people thought Kenneth E. Hagin wrote that, but he didn't, in Mark 11:23. He really didn't write that passage of Scripture. But the Lord has asked me to refresh some of this as a founding pastor, because this nation and you are at a crossroads. God did not bring this church to this place for us to cool off and stalemate. We are just now starting to get big enough to start doing something for the kingdom. You've got to see your destiny. You've got to see you as God sees you. You've got to see where God wants to take you, and you've got to see what God wants to do in your nation and your life and in your family. So before I pray, I want to say to you, when I leave here, I go back to America for a few weeks. Then on September the 11th, I fly to Australia. I will be there for 5 weeks, and I fly to Malaysia. I will be going there to pioneer churches. We were there last year, and we saw over 2,000 Muslims get filled with the Holy Spirit, born again, and living for God. And that move of God is still moving. It's still shaking up. With myself and Dr. Rodney Howard Brown, we were there, and Kuala Lumpur saw tremendous things of God. And I've been getting emails all year long of what God is still doing. And now we're going back to build on the foundation in that nation. Then from there, I will go either to Singapore, Hong Kong, or the Philippines, or somewhere. I know we're going to the Philippines. But it really doesn't matter. And somewhere around the end of November, I'll be going back to America. And I want you to pray with us that God's hand's going to be on us strong. That we're going to see the hand of God move, and a lot of good things are going to happen. Turn with me in Mark 11. I'm going to take one verse of scripture. And Jesus says, truly I say unto you, that whatsoever things, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I want you to understand, you are the prophet and the priest of your life. What you declare and what you speak can affect your destiny, your family, everything about you. I want to bring back these truths to you and help you to understand, and even for those that are just new into this congregation. You need to learn how to verbalize your faith if no one has ever taught you the Word of God. You've got to learn how to talk the promises of God and not your problems. Many times when you declare your problems, all you're doing is compounding doubt and confusion on how you're going to get out of that situation. But if you'll start declaring what God says you can have and what God will do for you, and start magnifying the Word of God over your problems, God, and put your faith in God, God can change your whole situation. When we talk about confessing the Word of God, confession is affirming something that you believe. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. That's affirming who He is. And when I confessed Him as my Lord with my mouth, the Bible says, if I will believe in my heart and confess Him with my mouth, I shall be saved. And that's how I entered into the kingdom of God. You had to believe it. You had to confess it. You had to do something with your mouth. And so when you testify of something that you know, when you're witnessing to a Bible truth or a promise that you believe in, you're affirming it. So people ask me sometimes, well, what am I to confess? I said, well, what do you need in your life as a Christian? If you need healing, you don't talk about, well, my God, you know, He'll supply all of my needs. And I want to take the healing verses of the Bible where He said, I am the Lord God that healeth thee. I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. If I have a broken foot, I don't go to the doctor and say, well, you look at my hand. It's not my hand that needs help. It's my foot. And if I'm broke or I'm facing a financial situation, I take the scriptures that promise me how that God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory in Philippians 4:19. I talk about the promises of God that affirm to me what God said I can have. So confession is nothing more than declaring and speaking the promises of God and putting your faith in them and believing that God intended for you to have it. Because if God didn't intend for you to have it, he would not have put it in this book. But because it's in this book, you can speak it, you can declare it, and you can confirm it. So confession is nothing more than using your mouth to bring forth a promise of God. Confession is a personal, authoritative, spiritual proclamation coming out of your mouth of what you believe in your heart. It's a proclamation affirming what you believe. Well, what do I believe? You declare what you are in Christ. Some people, after they become a Christian, they sing these songs, "Such a worm as I." I'm not a worm anymore. I'm a child of the King. I'm a new creation in Christ. I'm a royal priesthood. Everything has changed. The old man has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So I start declaring who I am now as a new Christian. The devil tries to remind me of my past, but I remind him of his future. That old man is dead. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. So you have to affirm who you are in Christ at times. You have to let the devil say, "No, I'm not your child. I'm a child of the King. You're not my Lord. Jesus is my Lord. I don't belong to you. I was bought with a price. I've been redeemed." So you come back and you declare and stand on the promises of God. And you stand on what you are as a result of the finished work that Christ did for us at Calvary. The finished work that now that you are complete in Him and we have the mind of Christ. So when you face problems, you say, "I don't know what I'm going to do." You say, "Well, what would Jesus do?" Go to Him and He'll give you the solution to your problem. This book has over 60-something thousand promises in it to declare what you can have in God. It covers everything you need. So don't look at me like you're a special case. Don't look at me like, "Well, God just, you know, I'm unloved. God doesn't cover my case." He does cover your case. For it says, "Whosoever..." That means you too. You're a whosoever. Can have whatsoever. Anything that God has promised you, you can have it. You can confess it and believe for it. This man one time said, "Well, you know, he was married and he had children. He looked over the fence and saw, you know, this beautiful young lady. He was starting to get old. And he said, 'I think I'll go to church and pray that God will, you know, let me divorce my wife and marry her.'" Now, God's not going to do that. When he said, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife," he means exactly what he said, and you're not an exception to the rule. And if you divorce your wife, it's not God telling you to, it's the devil. You've been listening to the wrong voice or deceived. God's not, he said, "Oh God, I'm broke. Oh God, let me go rob a bank and not get caught." What's wrong with your brain? You're not an exception. God's not going to allow you to go steal. He said, "Thou shalt not steal." You think he's going to just turn his head and kind of pretend like he's not looking at you? He's okay. You know, go ahead and do it now. It's okay. No, it's not okay. So what do we possess in Christ? The promises of God. It said we possess them. Are you going to believe for them? I could own an airplane and it's not going to do me any good unless I get in it and fly it. I won't get anywhere. You can own a car and walk everywhere and it's just sitting in your drive. You can have promises of God and never use them. They don't do you any good. Well, they're in the Bible. Isn't that wonderful? They're not just put in the Bible to read about or think about. They're there to help you, to show you that God can change your situation. But you're going to have to say what God said. You're going to have to establish the Word of God on the inside of you. You're going to have to build a clear inner image. You're going to have to learn to create what God promises in your heart. And if you can begin to see yourself with it, you can have it. A friend of mine one time, when he first got saved, he was driving around and he saw this beautiful house, him and his wife. He said, I just can't imagine of ever having something like that in my life. And the Holy Spirit corrected him and said, if you can't imagine it, you'll never have it. You can be a cripple. And if you can't see yourself well with the promises of God or that God can heal you, you'll never do what blind Bartimaeus did on that road of Jericho when Jesus passed by. When he heard it was Jesus, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He cried out. He is blind. He wasn't asking for alms. What was he asking for? They said, the master calls for you. When Jesus called him and he went to him, the Lord said, what will thou have that I do unto you? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. But you've got to understand something about this process. In that day and age, to show that you'd paid your taxes to Caesar, he had a coat that you got as a begging coat. He took the coat off and he thrust it aside before he was healed. That meant if he was begging without that coat, he could be arrested because it showed he hadn't paid taxes. He said, I'm never going to need that coat again. I'll never need it again. All I got to do is get to Jesus. I'll never need the coat again. He cast it aside. He said, boy, I'm not going to cast it aside. He may not heal me. He may not touch me. I guess you'll get what you say. He came to Jesus. He wasn't asking for alms. He said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. He came specifically. And sometimes, well, God knows my need, but we never ask him for anything. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Ask in my name and you shall receive in Matthew 7:7. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. For everyone that knocketh it shall be opened, and everyone that seeketh shall findeth. God's promises aren't complicated. I said they're not complicated. Confession is not complicated. It's just asking for God to what he said he will do. And I said it a while ago and I'll repeat it again. If he didn't intend for you to have it, he wouldn't have put it in the book. And when he tells you, I am the Lord God that healeth thee, in Exodus chapter 15 and chapter 23 said, I will take away sickness from the midst of thee. When he declares it, if we will stand upon the promises and confess them with our mouth that he is our healer. When we're broke, we confess that he is our provider. When we need guidance, it said, acknowledge the Lord in all of thy ways and he will direct thy path. When we confess the promises of God, we bring them into possession. And sometimes when I was first learning about the promises, I would take about healing. I'd take a magic pen and a marker, and I'd make me a little sign, and I'd put it over the mirror where I got up to shave in the morning. Surely I'm not the only one that's done this. And I'd write, I'm the Lord God that healeth thee, Exodus 15:26. I'd put it on where I shaved. I'd stick it on the refrigerator. I'd stick it on the dashboard of my car. And when I was even in school, I put it on my textbook. When I opened the book, there it was. What was I doing? I was schooling myself into the promises of God. You school yourself into them. You say it long enough and it'll move from your head to your heart. You've got to get the promises of God in the inside of you before they will manifest. Not just having it memorized. You've got to get it where you believe it. where he quoted this, you say, I know that I know that I know that I know that I know it's mine. I believe it's mine. I confess it's mine. I know that I have it. Well, I can quote it. Isn't that wonderful? The devil believes but doesn't do anything about anything. God wants you to act on them. So what are we looking here? What am I going to confess? Confess something that you believe in your heart. Well, I don't believe much. Well, you sure do need to, you need to do a lot of reading. You need to put a lot of word in you. See, confession is witnessing to a truth that you embrace. Confession is using your mouth to bring it forth. The reason a lot of you don't get anything to bring forth because you don't go around talking the word of God. You talk your problems. My child is sick. We don't have any food in the house. Kenneth E. Hagin one time said, the nation goes as the church goes. If you don't like the way your nation is right now, instead of criticizing and reading in Post and reading in this magazine or reading in the newspapers, why don't you start reading the Word of God to change your nation and talk the blessings over this nation instead of the curses? Amen. Obama is not my source in America. I don't care if the country goes flat broke. If a raven has to feed me, God's going to do something and take care of me. You got to understand something. Quit looking to politicians and the IMF and everybody else to depend the barometer if we're going to have a good year or not. If I would have looked at circumstances, I'd have had a terrible year last year. Last year I had one of the best years I've ever had in the history of David A. Newberry Ministries. When churches are canceling out preachers because they said, we can't afford them, we're laying off staff, my income started going up. I didn't even know how much I'd made until the end of the year. And I was shocked. I was shocked when I got to the end of the year to realize what I had made. I hadn't even been paying attention to it. But by the end of the year, I had made over 50,000 more American dollars than I had ever made in my entire life. Don't look at me that way. I had some difficult times. I stood needing $25,000 and didn't have it. Didn't know where it was going to come from. I went into November up until clear to the end of January with nowhere to preach and nowhere to go, and no one wanted me. I had almost $20,000 in taxes to pay and didn't have the money for it. And what they do, if you don't pay them in a length, they penalize you penalties. Then they take your house or whatever you have, your car, your houses, they sell them or whatever they can get for them. They pay the taxes, and then if there's anything left, they give it back to you. They don't ask you. They take it. The IRS takes it. That's a law of the IRS. No one's exempt from it. I had a person write me, and then call me. That God tells me you have a need. I said, yeah, I do. He said, God told me to send you $15,000. I said, this is not for your church or for ministry. This is for you personally. Don't tell me that won't change your life. Then I had another person send me a check for $5,000. I hadn't asked anybody. I didn't go sit down by someone who's got a lot of money. He said, oh, God, I need $20,000. I'm not conning people. Some of you want to put on holy pants and, oh, my car's broke down. Oh, you come and sit down by me and pray in Bible school or somewhere. Oh, Brother Newberry, help me, help me. Help. I mean, oh, God, help me, help me. I got to quit in about 7 minutes. But I'm trying to tell you. In 1 John 5:14, it said, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desire of Him." We know we have it because He's promised it to us. He said He'd do it. Didn't say He might, He could. It could happen, it might happen. I wish it would happen. No, what are you going to believe Him for? The miracle is in your mouth, about an inch below your nose. But some of you are going to have to learn to talk the Word of God and diligently meditate. God told Joshua, when they went in to possess the land, meditate means to mutter, to talk them, to speak them. He said, if you'll meditate, He said, thou shall make thy way successful, as the King James reads it. NIV or one of my other translations, it talks about, you're going to make your way prosperous and successful. If you will believe what God said you can have, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. Wherever you trod, just be strong and courageous. As a New Testament believer, we have to be strong and courageous just like the Old Testament church. They had to believe for the promises of God. When God promises you something, He'll give you a promised land, but you have to possess it. They had to go in and possess the land, and we have to go in and possess the promises of God. We have to believe God for them. I understand how people have got off into stupidity over confession. You can take any doctrine and twist it enough to where you can make it say where it's unscriptural. Heresy is the truth perverted. I said heresy is the truth perverted. But there's a truth in confessing the promises of God that the church needs to get back to and look at. And God told me to preach it this morning. That's what I'm doing. Realize, when you speak it, you don't have it yet. But I'm going to say something to you. If you're talking doubt, it's the opposite of believing. If you're believing, you're not doubting. And if you're doubting, you're not believing. And if you're doubting, you're not speaking it forth with your mouth with faith. If I can get you to believe right, your thinking will be right and your confession will be right. But if you're full of unbelief, you'll talk your circumstances, you'll talk your problems, you'll talk everything but the promises of God. And what comes out of your mouth will not be faith. So when you look at this, you got to read right, talk right, and confess right. Because there's a miracle in your mouth if you'll believe it. Faith will work with doubt in your head and faith in your heart. I want to close with this and help you understand something. The devil can come just like a bird can land on your head. He can build a nest there long enough if you'll let him sit there. That's why in Romans it talks to a Christian. Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it talks about casting down every imagination that would exalt itself against the Word of God. It means you are going to have to do something about your life. You're waiting for God to do something. He's already provided healing in the atonement which was done at Calvary. We got promises on healing. He didn't have to give you a special revelation that He's a healer. It's in the book. All you got to do is read it and act on it and believe it. Salvation, He doesn't have to come and die on the cross again. He's provided one time, once and for all, the provision for the forgiveness of sins. Confess Him as your healer. Believe in your heart. And you're saved. Whosoever will. And the other promises of God are as easy as salvation if you'll get the doubt out of your head. So you cast down the imagination where the devil tries to say you're not going to get it. The devil's always been a liar. When he says, you're not going to get it, it means you are going to get it. He's just trying to talk you out of it. He's just trying to lie to you. I heard Reinhard Bonnke make a statement one time trying to tell a young man, because he's a young man, the devil was bothering him all the time. He said, young man, he said, when you're born again, he said, doesn't Jesus come and live on the inside of you? He said, yes. He said, so when the devil comes and knocks on your door, he said, instead of you going and look opening the door and said, oh, hello, who are you? He said, why don't you just let Jesus, who's on the inside of you, answer the door? So when Jesus answered the door, the devil will say, oh, I've got the wrong house. Pardon me. The problem, some of you have been answering the door instead of let Jesus answer the door. And right now, some of you are going to have to start speaking the language of faith if you're going to make it, if you're going to change your situation. Quit talking your problems, all the storms and tests and trials and the influences is coming against you. No one loves me. I'm just such a worm. I'm so poor. I'm so broke. You look poor and broke. Your face shows it. Today is your day for a miracle. Today is your day for God to radically change you. When I sat over here a while ago, I felt the anointing come into my hand for miracles. For people that are in life and death situations. Right now, if you have AIDS, Bilharzia, heart condition, I don't care what it is. God is here to heal you. It's not always necessary for a minister or a pastor or a man of God to lay hands on you. How can I stand up in a crusade with having sometimes 35 or 50,000 people that need a miracle? You could be there for hours and have lines longer than football fields and soccer fields all the way around them time and time again if you just prayed one at a time, and you'd be there for hours and hours and hours and hours. You could never get through. But you know what's wonderful? There is no distance in prayer. The anointing is here to heal you right where you are. I want every person that is facing a life-threatening situation where doctors don't have the answer, when I was here last year, remember when the lights went out and this lady was over here in a wheelchair and they brought her in to back and we prayed for her and God raised her up out of that wheelchair and healed her? We had the staff. It wasn't a matter of Brother Newberry touched them. The miracle power of God. We had hundreds, all kind of people coming to the front, all kind of people getting healed. The next day we went up to UTH. The lady may be here, but she was there in the hospital. When I walked into the room with the other brethren, William Cantamoy and some of the other, Mark Green and some of us, we went in that room. And Mark was watching me as I was talking with her. Because I had William, I had him pray for her that they'd lead her back because she'd been out of church. She got her life, she was back doing things that just she shouldn't have been doing. She got out of the house of God and it opened up. It's just like going outside when it's raining without an umbrella. You get wet. You can't get over in the devil's territory without your umbrella up. She was dying of cancer. They'd operated on her and cut her from here to here. Looked inside. She had cancer in her lungs, her liver, lymph nodes all through her. She had a big old tumor, probably bigger than a, you know, several, two, three, you know, kilo, two, three, four, 5 kilo, like a baby. His tumor was attached to her back. The doctor just sewed her up. Said, there's nothing we can do. About a week later after that, She became paralyzed downward because a tumor had eaten through her spine. When the tumor eats through, a doctor will tell you, you only have a week or two, a few weeks to live. Life is over. Her legs were paralyzed. She couldn't move them. She had no feeling. I could have taken a knife and stabbed her, and she has no feeling in her legs. There's nothing there. She can't move. She's paralyzed. And Mark Dream, we had her, they pushed her kind of off to the edge of the bed where her feet were dangling down, and her feet was touching this little stool. I reached over and put my foot on it. Come here, Mark. Come up here quickly. We're doing this purposely. It's by design of the Holy Ghost. What happened when you saw me? Her foot was kind of touching it, and I'd sit there and move my foot on and move it off. What was happening?
Her foot was touching the stool.
And what happened?
And then all of a sudden, her feet, her toes started moving. And then her feet started moving. And then she started moving her legs.
And so, I didn't even know it. I was getting ready to pray for her.
And then Pastor Newberry with his leg touched her leg, and she moved her leg. And then she stood up. And then she had a chitenge with nothing underneath. But the chitenge fell down. And she started running up and down in the corridor.
And we were trying to keep the chitenge on her. She was trying to hold it with one hand. I had her by the hand like this, walking her up and down. She was praising God with one hand up in the air and the other one trying to hold her kachanga. And another woman running behind her trying to cover her backside. But the whole essence of the exercise was just what? It was the power of God. And when anointing is here, He touches you. I've taken 5 minutes of prayer time to give you something. It's not a man. It's only God that does this. It's His Spirit and His anointing. So if you need a miracle, come up right now. Just come up here quickly, quickly. Come up. Come to the front. Line up. Come across the front. Just come quickly. We got only 10 minutes to pray for everybody, so we can't take long with anybody. We can't take long. Hallelujah. Just come up here if you're needing a miracle. Whatever you need. And when we get one made across, we'll just hold them. I'm going to come down. I'm going to have William, a couple of the men. We're going to come down and we're going to pray. Come up here with me. We're going to come along. We're going to pray quickly. All we're going to do is touch you. It's going to be a point of contact. When a point of contact, say, I receive. Say with me, I'll receive when I'm touched. And God's going to heal me. He's going to heal me completely in Jesus' name. Audience, stretch your hands out. Be a part of what God's fixing to do for these people. We're going to give an altar call in just a moment for those that need to be saved. But first of all, we're going to pray for these and that need a miracle. And you start at this end. Father, in the name of Jesus, as He prays and I pray and go down through the line, the power of God's going to go into them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got another minister or two or whoever they are, bring them up with you and we'll be quick. I'm going to start down here. Mark, help me. You pray. You got an anointing for healing. Start somewhere about in the middle. Just start here. Father, in the name of Jesus, use this man as he prays. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Just start going along, just touching him and praying for him. All we're going to do is touch you and pray for you. In Jesus' name. Receive right now in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. God, for these ears to come open, loose. One, two. One, two. You hearing me now? You hearing? You hearing me? Hi. Amen. Say it out loud. Amen. One, two. You hearing me? Is your ears opening up? Where's the guy? Ask him if his ears are starting to come open. Receive. I want him to believe for his need. Can he start to hear better? He's starting to hear now. Just praise the Lord. He says he's starting to hear. Father, we thank you. You're healing him in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, receive right now. In Jesus' name, receive. In Jesus' name, receive. Receive right now a miracle. Receive in Jesus' name. 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 Just bring the others quickly. Come all the way to the end. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just line them through. Get ready to receive. In Jesus' name, receive right now the miracle that she had. God, we receive it right now by the power of God. Receive in Jesus' name. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive right now. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive your miracle right now. Receive it in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, receive it. Jesus' name, receive it. God's going to bless you financially. Your needs are met financially as well. Thank you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, receive it right now. In Jesus' name. God, my needs are met in Christ Jesus. Just bend over. Do what you can do. Check yourself. God's healing you. God's healing. Just thank you for it. Father, in Jesus' name, receive in Jesus' name. 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 Glory to God, Lord. Let them receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. I receive right now a miracle in the name of Jesus. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive in Jesus' name. I receive in Jesus' name. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God, Father. I receive right now in the name of Jesus. That's it. Receive it. There it is. The Holy Ghost is here, right there. Receive it. Receive it in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Disease that caused this? What was it?
The doctors have been
Had the doctors ever told you what caused this disease?
No.
Were you walking at one time in your life?
Yes.
How long ago?
5 years.
5 years ago. You have any feeling in your legs?
Yes, I do.
You feel the anointing in my hands? You feel a warmness?
Yes, I feel.
You know what that's for? It's to heal you. And if you'll believe me, when that anointing, I can feel anointing in my hands. All you got to do is just receive it. Do you put yourself in and out of this chair?
Yes, I do.
I'm going to help you. You remember on the day of Pentecost, chapter 3, Acts chapter 3, it said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hands and lifted him up. And all of a sudden he began to leap and run. If you'll believe me, we'll get you up out of this thing. Me and Jesus and you are going to get a miracle if you'll believe with me. I've seen many, many people like this. You're not any different than they are. God will heal you. If he can heal a woman who's dying of cancer, can't move, totally paralyzed, he can surely heal you. Okay? Will you believe with me?
Yes, I do.
Well, let's do. Move your feet. Move these things where you can walk. Just move them out of the way. That's it. Pick them up. They're going to help me. Come by him to kind of hold him up. We need it. You may not need it, but we're going to pick you up. When I pray for you and lift you up, Father, in the name of Jesus, as he stands up, let strength begin to come into his legs. Don't you start trying to move your feet. Do what you couldn't do. Even if it's a baby step, take it. Start to move. That's it. Move your feet. Start to move your feet. That's it. Move it some more. In Jesus' name, I'm walking. In Jesus' name, I'm going to walk. That's it. Move the feet again. Move it again. Move it again. Come on, start. That's it. Now you're starting to walk. Come on, move them again. In Jesus' name. Come on, folks. Believe God with me. He's starting to walk. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, my strength is coming. My feet are getting stronger. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Could you walk like this a while ago? Have you been able to walk like this? No, but I've seen in these years, I said, are you doing what you couldn't do a while ago?
No.
Are you walking better?
I'm walking.
You're walking better now. I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to have them walk with you because I got a lot of people to pray for them. But I want you to just stay with them. If they need it, we want you to, I'm not trying to get you back in that chair. I'm trying to get you to walk. Put your faith in Jesus. He's starting to move. Come on, walk with me some more. Move your feet again. In Jesus' name. That's it. Come on, just walk some more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The more you walk, the better it gets. God's healing you in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kind of take him a second. Strength is going to come into him. When you hadn't walked in years, and now he's starting to even move, he couldn't do that a while ago. Come on, folks, begin to worship God. Sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it's gradual. The Bible said from that hour they begin to amend. He's starting to amend. He's starting to be able to do what he couldn't do before. So I want to believe God for the completion of it. Just keep thanking the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we receive right now. In Jesus' name, we receive. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we receive. In Jesus' name, we receive. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While he's praying for these others, how many here this morning? Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, bless him. Thank you, Father, in thy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Take that for the moment. Right now, anyone here who does not have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you need to have Jesus forgive you and come into your heart. I want you to raise your hand and say, my life is not where it should be with God. Anybody in this section, anyone, raise your hand high so I can see it. Over in this section, anyone over here that needs Jesus, raise your hand and say, yes, that's me. Anybody, there's one here. Anyone else? One here. Anyone back here? Hold your hand up high. Any others? What about this section? Anyone that needs Jesus Christ, hold your hand up. That my heart is not where it should be. I want you that raised. There's another one over here. If you should have raised your hand, there's another hand here. If you raised your hands, come and meet me at the front. Get up where you are right now. Come up to the front. Come up. Come up. Come up. What's wrong with the little fellow?
He's having difficulties in talking.
Yes. Father, for this child to be healed of this speech impediment, where he's having difficulty talking, it said you laid hands on those.
Yes, sir.
The deaf, those that were mute, as well as those that were dumb, that could not talk. And Lord, I pray for this little tongue to be loosed, where this mother will be able to know immediately that he's healed of this. In Jesus' name. As thy faith be, so be it unto thee and your child. In Jesus' name. There it is. There it is. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Take him over here somewhere and check him out. Where's these others that were coming up to the front? Any others that raised? There were several that raised your hand. There's a few more that should be up here. Not everyone came. It's one thing to acknowledge something. It's another to do something about it. You need to do something about it. This is your hour. This is your day right now. Don't put Jesus off. Don't. Come on. Come up quickly. Anyone else? Just pray with me. Heavenly Father. Just pray with me. Heavenly Father. I receive you as my Savior. Come into my life. And cleanse me from all sin. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. I'm going to have the lady go with this lady right here. She wants to talk with you for a moment. I'm going to have William step here for a minute. And we just want to say this morning, we got a second service coming in about 10 minutes. I love you people. Those who have known my late wife and me starting this church, it hasn't been easy to build something like this. A lot of sacrifice, a lot of labor, a lot of love, and a lot of people have made this happen. I thank Pastor Walker for having me back. I just want to say, God bless you. Love you. Praise God.